Hi, everybody. I am Jade Avery. I'm going to be sharing today on Twisted Youngins about how Jesus saved me from my sexual sin and the continuing renewing of my mind.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thank you for tuning in to Twisted Youngins, the most unorthodox show on the globe. I am one of your hosts, Myra B. King.
And this is Desi Daz, and today we have a special guest. Please let the people know who you are.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jade Avery. Very nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. Thank you for coming on the show, Jade. Jade, where are you from?
Originally, I'm from Maryland, the DMV area, but now I reside close to Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay. And so you grew up most of your childhood in Maryland?
Yes, I only moved down here about, 5 years ago now?
Okay. How was that growing up in, were you in Baltimore?
I wasn't in Baltimore, so more Southern Maryland, like closer to D.C., honestly. PG County, Fort Washington, a little bit of Charles County, Waldorf, but yeah, mainly that area.
Okay, because I was going to say, I know they used to call Baltimore, be more careful. I used to read a long time ago, I used to read a lot of urban fiction books and watch it, like, but anyway, so how was that growing up for you out in Maryland?
I was pretty sheltered, honestly. So from what I experienced, though, I mean, it was pretty similar to, I guess, anywhere else. It wasn't anything like noteworthy, I would say. You know, I had a pretty normal upbringing, but I mean, I enjoyed it. I mean, being close to the nation's capital, I did go to like Smithsonian a lot. So, I mean, just proximity to history is pretty cool, but you know, other than that, pretty normal.
What do you mean by shelter?
So just because of where I lived and like my dad's schedule, cause, I lived with my mom for like the first part of my childhood and my dad for the last part of my childhood. So when I was living with my dad, like, I didn't really go anywhere that much, just because he was always working, you know. So I would say that I really didn't experience a whole lot outside the house. That's kind of what I mean by shelter. It wasn't like a forced sheltering or something like that.
Why did you move from being with your mother to your father?
Really, it was up to me. It was a choice, but I didn't know who my father was at first. And then I met him when I was 9. So just given a choice, I felt like at that time, I felt like it was better to live with him. He just had more resources than my mom did. My mom, she was struggling a lot with mental health and things like that. So I would say like a borderline abusive, you know, situation. It wasn't like, I do have trauma, but it's not like debilitating, right? And we've done a lot of healing since then. So I'm not on here to bash my mama, but you know, we were going through things. So when I was presented with the opportunity to like go and live with my father, I took that opportunity.
Okay. And so did you grow up in a church? Did you attend church while you were younger?
Okay, funny story. So when I was living with my mom, I used to sneak and go to church. My mom had, like I said, she was battling with just a lot of things. And she had it in her mind that Christ had left the church, that it really wasn't a good idea to go. So in a sense, she banned me from going. And I used to go to a karate class that was actually like in a church parish. It was in a cemetery, but you had the parish over here. You had the church over there. So I would like lie and say that I was just, they had breakfast. I would lie and say, I'm gonna just go to breakfast, and I would sneak and go to service too. And she knew I was sneaking like somewhat, but like after that with my dad now, so fast forward, I was living with my dad and we grew up in several churches, like different churches, cause my dad did a lot of business with churches too. So like there was that. Yes, but I can say like since my adulthood, I can look back and see how like those churches were not good churches. Like I really learned how to discern, you know, churches and Christianity just as a whole. So I did grow up in church, but it wasn't heavily Christian. Does that make sense? Or does that even make sense?
Yes. How did you discern that? I believe that's a good question. That's something that a lot of Christians have trouble with. So how did you discern that?
So Like, of course, I really didn't, like, while I was there and a child and couldn't yet. But it's like, looking back, I can see there were, like, I knew a lot about the pastors and the families and just how things were run. And it was very business. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was very, you know, coin oriented. And even I would really say it's the exposure to my latest church. Right now I go to Mountain West, and it really wasn't until I started going to that church and learning about the pastor that was there. We have a new one now, but even the old one that was there, like learning things about him and how he ran things, it was kind of like, wait a minute, like this is what church is supposed to be. So like what I mean by that is like before, you know, of course, like pastor would be decked out. Ladies will be very, very showy, very flashy. You know, when there are scriptures speaking directly against that, how you shouldn't really be wearing expensive clothes just to be a show, you know, just to be a show. So seeing how like Pastor Mike at Mountain West, like I heard that he only had a $30 IKEA desk, you know, and I'm seeing everything as far as community outreach, like we have quarterly serve days and things like that. That's not something I experienced in the churches that, you know, when I was growing up. There was no community serve days. There was no encouragement outside of Sunday to really be involved in the kingdom. And it's like my pastor now, Pastor Mo, he says this thing all the time and it sticks with me. There are no spectators in the kingdom. Every one of us is commissioned to help forward the kingdom of God. And, you know, those are messages that I really didn't receive back then.
So were you reading the Bible at this time?
When I was a kid?
Well, just when you're saying you were looking back, you were able to see the difference between the churches and how they were ran and how you knew that the one that you were currently at.
No, she wasn't reading the Bible. She was a kid. She was a kid back then.
So I would say, like, I kind of was. But I mean, in my later high school years, the last 3 years of my high school career, I went to Christian schools. So at that point, yeah, I was kind of reading the Bible, sort of. Like, I had memory verses, right? But I really wasn't reading for myself like I do now. I actually can kind of track and trace how I was protected even before. Like, I would have even said I was a Christian before. But honestly, I don't think I was really, really actually saved until after I had my own kids. And really, it's because I started thinking to myself, okay, I want to teach them what I believe. Like, I always believed in Jesus, right? But it's like, I want to teach them what I believe. But I found a lot of areas. I found a lot of areas of pride and sin that needed to be addressed. And it wasn't until I started asking myself, how do I teach this to my kids, that I really started doing that inner work and allowing Christ to do that change. Because I would say I'm a Christian, but I was doing a lot of things that were not honoring Christ. Like, and what? You know, like, you need an accountability buddy. Okay. Because they are, you know, like, my kids are always like, you know, oh, mommy, you did this. Mommy, you said a bad word. Mommy, you know, and I have to like be humble and be like, you're right. You know, because if I'm not setting that example for them, what kind of Christ am I showing them?
Mm-hmm. Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Exactly.
So what kind of sin was it that you mentioned that you said had to be addressed, that you knew you weren't living right?
Yeah, primarily pride and sexual sin. I'm going to be honest. I almost actually got into witchcraft. And I found it was so funny because I used to take saxophone lessons. And one day I was early for my lesson and I stopped off at the shopping center. And it was a thing placed on my windshield about like tarot reading, essentially training on witchcraft. And I was curious about it. I had been doing like some research prior about what they call Wiccans or Christian witches, like, you know, and stuff like that. And I found, I believe the verse is in Deuteronomy, but it was like a whole list. And I can't even, it took me years to even find the verse again, because when I found the verse, it shook me. It was like, you know, don't be doing divination. Don't be doing sorcery. Don't be doing necromancy. Don't be doing like this, that, and the third, everything. Like, just in case, it was like God was telling me, just in case you had an inkling of a thought that you could do this and still honor me, absolutely not. And I would say that was my first point of surrender, but I really wouldn't consider that I was still like actually saved, because I was still in my sexual sin. Even though, and I thought like, this is the pride, because I thought I was doing something because I had one sexual partner for 8 years, right? But we not married, you know? And honestly, it wasn't until after I had my third child, right? I have three children out of wedlock, right? And so, not that I regret those decisions, because I still believe that every child is a gift from God. And I know, I understand why I made those decisions. You know, like I'm a rape survivor. I got pregnant from it, and I, even though it was a bad situation, like I saw that child as something good that came out of something terrible, but I had a miscarriage. And when I lost that child, it like broke me, because I'm like, now I'm by myself. I have nothing. So it was like, after that, like motherhood kind of consumed me. I will say that. And after having my kids, like emotionally, I felt better, but I was still in this sexual sin, you know, fornicating, doing things that just didn't honor God. And after I had my third child, you know, like God really took a grip of my heart, and he was kind of just like, you know, how you rough somebody up like by the collar. It was kind of like God did that to me spiritually. He was like, listen, you have to submit to my will. You always asking me about what you want, what I want you to do, where I want you to go. This is the beginning. This is where you start. And I will say, like, since my third child was conceived, I ain't been doing nothing. And I'm saving myself for marriage now. So it was really just a renewing of my mind, because I used to think about sex all the time. Like every free moment of my life, I'm like imagining it. You know what I'm saying? Like just even when I wasn't doing, I was thinking about it like all the time. Like I'm really looking back and like, dang, I used to think about this too much all the daggone time. And you know, but it's like now. You know, I rarely even think about it. And even when I do think about it, I don't entertain the thoughts. Like, I don't keep it going in my mind and wanting it and desiring it and spending time and time and time on it. So I'm very, very grateful for that. And it's through the grace of God that since I'm now past the sexual sin, it's opened up just like, what else can we fix? Like, it's like just a place of humility. Like, what, show me what else is wrong with me. You know, like when I was talking about pride, you know, it would be times that I would begin to resent my kid's father for like this reason or that reason, you know, come up with a reason, right? And it was one time I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. That's the only way I can describe it, because I can't even really explain to you what I felt, but it was such a humbling moment that was like, you know, you sitting here talking about what he doing, what he not doing, what's going on over here. But you too are before the throne of grace begging for mercy. Look at what I've had to bring you through. And I'm like, I had to be like, you know what, you're right, Lord. And it's like from that, and that was a few years ago, but it's like, from that point then, it's like, I can't bring myself to like resent or harbor bad feelings against anybody, because me too, I'm before the throne of grace begging for mercy.
Amen.
I just want to thank you for sharing, talking about, you know, sexual sin. That's not easy for a lot of people to talk about. And that's something that I had to come out of before, you know, what I wasn't saved at the time, but we were going to church. My brother was already saved, and we were going and looking for churches, and I was still going to church and still indulging in that. And I even accepted money for it. It was from a guy that I'd known for a while, but I was still doing that and then going to church at the same time. And a lot of people don't come out and speak on that. So I definitely thank you for sharing that, because as followers of Christ, and even with people that, or just coming into following Christ, you don't have a lot of churches or pastors that talk about things like that. And I feel like, you know, we should be equipped, and we also should be in the Bible.
It can be tough, but I feel like transparency is key, because how can someone else say, you know, how can someone else look at me and say, you know, that's me. And if Christ can deliver you, he can deliver me too. If I'm not honest about the things that I've done. And I mean, through being saved, I have no shame. Like, I can talk about it, because it's like, I don't have shame around it. Like, yes, I did it. And yes, I can say that it was wrong. And of course, I'm going to encourage my children to not go down that path. But if I don't talk about what I've been brought through, you know, and I even look at biblical characters like Paul and how he came from a Christian hunter to writing, what is it, like 13 books of the New Testament? So like really it kind of started there. It's like, if he can save Paul, he can save me. But that's because I know what Paul did. So mm-hmm. I want somebody else to be able to look at my life and be like, well, if she was delivered, I can be too.
Amen. Let's go back to the card, the tarot card being placed in your window?
Yeah, my windshield.
So what did you do? Like, how did you pursue that? Because I know, I'm pretty sure the devil seen you was looking it up and you was interested. So
yeah.
You said, okay, put a card on her. Because I think she might be.
I didn't actually pursue it. And I would say that that was God's protection, because I could have and I wanted to. But I feel like he saved me from going down that road. Now, previously, because as a teenager, I used to sing and I was on my way to really doing it professionally. Like I went to LA, I worked with Kwame Holland in New Jersey, right? And one day in a dream, it's kind of tied in. I'm gonna answer your question. So one day in a dream, I'm not gonna say it was Satan, but at least whoever it was claimed to be. And he didn't, like, I know how some people talk about like a deal, or like, it really wasn't specific. It was more so like, just follow me and, you know, do what I want you to do. And I was just like, no, I love Jesus. And then it got mad. Like, it was like, you think God loves you? You think you're good enough to go to heaven? You think, I mean, like, going at it. And I was just like, I don't care. I love Jesus. And it came at me like trying to attack me. And then I woke up. So I would say remembering that dream, and then on top of that, finding that verse in Deuteronomy where like God was like, clearly, none of that. It ain't happening. You cannot do, because I'm thinking, you know, oh, there's a such thing as a Christian witch. Oh, you know what I'm saying? And it pretty much just laid out for me, like, if your power does not come from me, it is of the evil one. So which side you going to be on? And even though I would say I wasn't surrendering my entire life at that point, I knew enough to say I definitely don't want to be on that guy's side.
I never heard of that, but I know witches do be in the church. Because
mm-hmm.
they like going around these willfully sinning Christians, or Christians that they like fighting against Christians.
But yeah.
They really love a Christian that's living in willful sin. But
yeah.
So the term is called, what'd you say the term is called? Which Christian, or what you say? Christian.
Oh, Wiccan. Wiccan. So Wiccan. There's this thing called Wiccan, right? Because I did.
Oh, yeah, Wiccans. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I did look it up, and I was like, I didn't actually do any rituals. I never, you know, did any spells or things like that, but I was doing a lot of research, trying to see if there's a way I could do it and still serve God.
Tell us about, like, what do they do, and what, you know, something, give us a little bit of. What's going, like, what are their,
like, what is that?
What are they trying to do? What are their goals?
It can be different things. So it's going to be like an individual thing, but at least from what I remember, because this was like 10 years ago. But from what I remember, it would be kind of things like, you know, falling in love, trying to make somebody fall in love with you, trying to get money, trying to, you know, like do all kinds of things. And there would be like spells, either like rhyming words or even rituals. You might have to gather some like specific trinkets or stuff. I don't remember like exactly, but essentially it would be somebody who is claiming that they are using witchcraft for the betterment of others. So like they'll say, I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm not trying to kill anybody. You know, I'm not trying to be evil. Like, I just want to come up, or I just want to find love, or I just, you know, it'll be something like that. But it's still very self-centered motivations. Like I would say, for the most part, I'm not going to speak for everyone. And like I said, I never actually got into it, so I can't say like I'm an ex-witch or something.
Yeah, it's self-centered. I'm going to speak on this shoe. That's demonic. They're trying to cast spells.
No, it is. It is. But I mean, one thing we can learn even from the Bible itself, you know, Satan loved to put just enough truth, you know, to make you think that maybe it might be all right.
Right, correct. How long ago was it when you, I know you touched on it briefly, when you were, you said after your third child, but how long ago was that when you were like, okay, what I'm doing is wrong, I need to come out of this sin, and when the relationship with God really started to transform you?
So my daughter is one. This would be like when I was pregnant with her. Okay. So this was like 2022. So it's been a journey, right? Because there will be times that I'll be like, okay, well, you know, I'm doing all of these things, but I'm not doing those things. You know how we like to, as Christians, be like, well, I ain't murdering nobody, like the real bad stuff. I'm not homosexual. I'm not like, you know, like that. But I had to really kind of, you know, like look at myself. And when I really started reading the Bible and listening to the Bible, I listen more than I read because I have struggled with reading. Like, I can read, I just don't like to. So I will always find an excuse. Oh, I don't have time. Oh, it's boring. I'm tired. You know, whatever. So it was number one, removing the excuse from being in God's word. So I'm like, you know what? You don't have time to read. You don't feel like reading. You can listen. I use the YouVersion Bible app with the ESV, and I hear the scripture every single day. And listening to a particular scripture that really stood out to me is, you know, on the day of the Lord, on day of judgment, a lot of people was going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I do that in your name? You know, and yeah, he will say, yeah, everything, you know, prophesying, casting out demons. There's a list there. But, you know, the scariest thing, my biggest fear became hearing on that day, depart from me. I never knew you. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, you know what? Forget about the things that I say that I'm doing or not doing, because even our best work is like filthy rags. It's nothing that we can do to earn heaven. So I really kind of just took a step back and was like, you know what? I just want to know you. I just want to know you. And I want to surrender in every way that you will allow. And I mean, I would say maybe 2 years ago, you know, because it was when, you know, I used to actually be afraid to talk to my children about God. I thought somebody would be judging me. I thought somebody would hear me and think this or that. And I'm like, you know what? Their eternity is more important than what people think. So that was about 2 years ago when God really started to do the work on me and began to consider his word over my pride and over what people are saying and over everything that doesn't really matter.
That was going to be my next question, is do you have Bible study with your children?
Yes and no. So they have like a children's Bible that we do read. I really wouldn't call it Bible study quite yet, but what I have done is when they are getting in certain situations, like when they are bickering, fighting, you know, all of this stuff, I've began to tell them parables, the same parables that Jesus told. Like when they struggle with forgiving each other, I tell them the parable about the king and the two servants, and I'll make a lot of analogies. You know, one of the things that I definitely try to do is help them discern truth from pretend. So when we're talking about stuff that happened in the Bible, I make sure they know this is true, you know, because they're 4 and 6, my boys. So they're thinking, you know, Transformers is true and all of this stuff. They see a yellow car, they're like, there's Bumblebee, right? So I have to tell them, like, that is pretend. Somebody made it up. It's fun, but it's pretend. So I have began in that way. You know, I encourage them to pray. I ask them what they want to pray for. I'm working on teaching them how to pray from a place of humility, right? Because they always just want to ask God for toys and stuff.
Because kids, they remember things. I remember when I was like 4 years old, my father used to try to teach me Spanish and teach me how to color inside of a circle. But, you know, the Bible says, you know, we're supposed to pass down his words to the children, to the grandchildren, and to make sure they get the word before the world gets to them.
Raise up a child in the ways of the Lord, and when they get older, they won't depart from the faith.
Proverbs 22:6. That's actually the motto. I told you I'm leading a small group. That's what it's all about, actually. encouraging our children to have their own relationship with the Lord. So it's something that I want to eventually take to a public space and offer coaching. I'm not quite there yet. So I'm going to start small with my church group and really just talk about what I'm doing with my own kids and how these parents can, you know, really actively and intentionally shape their child's worldview. Because you're right, if we're not doing it, the world is, especially today.
They see your head and all these trap rappers, that's gonna raise your kids.
Yeah, exactly. Like they're just going to church, but then they're not. It's kind of like you going to school, you're not opening up the math or the spelling book. You're just in there listening to the teacher. You're not going to get that in there. So,
exactly. And our salvation as parents doesn't cover our children. So if they don't learn how to have their own relationship with God or how to pursue the kingdom, that's how they grow up and they hear all these other ideologies and they fall for it because it was just kind of, you know, we kind of tend to talk at our children. You know, the Bible says you're supposed to listen to me. The Bible say honor your mother and father. Bible say, but we don't talk about kind of the whole of it and we don't model, you know? So that was kind of the biggest like thing for me when I was telling you, I really think God saved me through my children because it was when I realized they're watching me.
Yeah.
They're watching me and they're learning from what I'm doing that,
They hear Mama trying to tell us about the Lord and fornication.
Right, right. But she ain't on it. She ain't on it. Right. So I'm like, you know, imitate me as I imitate Christ, right? As Paul said.
Lastly, what would you tell someone that's, you know, those in your shoes or probably going through what you've been through or that want to get saved that hasn't quite took that step yet? What is some words that you will say to them?
I would say if you are thinking about it and you haven't quite taken that step yet, I would just begin to ask, you know, do you believe in life after death? I would start there and I would bring up the scripture, you know, on the day of the Lord when people are going to say, Lord, Lord, you know, I prophesied in your name and cast out demons. And even if it's not that far, you know, do you really want to chance hearing, depart from me, I never knew you? Like really contemplate what that means. And please understand that this life compared to eternity is nothing but a second. So like your eternal destiny is so important to think about. And you know, tomorrow's not promised. So if you haven't made that step, today is the day. Do not wait.
Our life is merely a vapor. Do you have any dreams that God has given you that stick out? I know you had some demonic dreams, but
I have. And yeah. I mean, honestly, I think that those were an instrument in saving me as well, because even with the demonic dreams, I've been able to see the power of Christ, because they're like, I either have to acknowledge that Jesus is real or I'm crazy. Because when those demons do come in my dreams and I say that name and I ask in that name that they be gone, they're gone. Mm-hmm. So either I'm hallucinating, which I don't think I am, or there is something to that name, Jesus. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but as far as like good dreams or the way God talks to me, honestly, is not in my dreams. It's more so in my circumstances. It'll be, you know, like things that'll happen that, you know,
coincidence.
You could try to say, say that again.
Coincidences. Like, what's the odds?
Right, right. But there's no such thing. That's kind of what I've learned. It's like, there's no such thing. And I will say, like, even in the tunnel or even in the trenches, it's like God provides. And the way that he provides, it can only be him. And it's like, you know, the only thing that I really want to do is submit to his will. And I really feel like that comes into the parent coaching thing. I don't know where it came from. I don't really know that I'm qualified besides the fact that I have kids and I'm doing it. But I just really feel led to begin ministry that way. So that's what I'm going to do. However long it takes me to build it up, that's what I'm going to do.
Amen.
Well, we thank you. And tell the people where they can find you on your social media if you want. You don't have to.
Sure. I did start a YouTube channel, Bundles of Chaos. Instagram and Facebook also have that same name, Bundles of Chaos. You can join my Facebook group. Like I say, it's very, very new, but that's where I'll be sharing a lot of the tools and resources, things that my kids watch, how I'm helping them pray, and even specific circumstances and situations that arise. Like there's one there, my six-year-old asked me, so Satan can say whatever he wants. So that's something that I had to address in his mentality, and you know, things like that, and stories that I hope are relatable, that somebody can take home with their own kids and begin to minister to their babies.
Amen. All right, amen. Well, God bless you on your spiritual journey.
Thank you.
Keep and bless your ministry as well.
Thank you so much.
Well, blessed day. Thank you.